Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Turn to the book of Luke. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. Luke chapter 24. And verse 44. New King James, once again, if you're all there, say amen. I am definitely preaching to these now commissioned chaplains, but also to each and every one of you. Luke 24, verse 44 to 53, let's read the word tonight. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Verse 48. "And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city." Everybody say tarry. "Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high." Verse 50. "And he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. They worshiped him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually," they were where? "Continually in the temple, praising and blessing God." Amen. Father, thank you for your grace that's upon us to fulfill the Great Commission, not just chaplains, but each and every one of us you've called, each and every one of us you've chosen, each and every one of us, according to John 15, you've appointed. May we be awakened tonight and commissioned tonight to go as you send us forth for your purposes and for your plan, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Again, it is, I'm pretty sure most people don't understand the great honor and privilege we have of being endorsed by the Pentagon, but greater than any Pentagon endorsement is the endorsement of heaven. I've seen people with more degrees than a thermometer but can't change the temperature of any room. I've seen people with lots of degrees. It's not about degrees, but we are very thankful for education, and I think each and every one should study to show themselves approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. So it's important to study. It's important to know the word. But it's not just intellect. There's unction, there's anointing, there's calling, there's being used by God and God's power. If it was just about learning, then why did Jesus say, "Go and tarry"? There's something else. He taught them for 3.5 years, but then he said, "Wait, for what? You need more than just knowledge. You need the power." Bump your neighbor and say, "You need the power." To get to do what one is called to do is a great thing. And I would be exaggerating if I said every Sunday that I drive here from my home with Pastor Karen that we are overwhelmed to be able to come and to pastor and to do what we do. But it is many Sundays. Many Sundays I'm driving here, many times driving to service or going to a funeral or going to a celebration or a dedication of a business or a dedication of a home. And many times I find myself getting choked up thinking, man, I get to do this. It is a great joy to be able to serve God. It is not a drudgery. Somebody said it's hard to be a Christian. Maybe you need to be reintroduced to the Savior. Maybe you've gone a little bit dry, because it is a great joy to serve him, and joy is the flag that flies from the heart of those who have Jesus enthroned, and it takes power to serve God. It's just not about knowledge, and fulfilling purpose is what God has for us. Otherwise, you'd get saved. If you're not saved, they're going to give you an opportunity. What is saved? That means have your sins forgiven. If you're here and you're not right with God, we intend to remedy that. Should your heart yield to him, give you an opportunity to be born again. You must be born again, John 3. I think the greatest tragedy is not death. The greatest tragedy is dying without knowing the Lord and not having fulfilled what God's called you to do. And so God just doesn't save us, because if he did, I've said it so many times before, if you were just to have your sin forgiven, then you'd croak. I mean, you know, not like a frog. I mean, you'd die. You'd be dead. You would no longer be breathing, and it'd be over the second you receive Jesus. That's not the plan. The plan is not for you just to receive Jesus. The plan is for you to be forgiven, to have remission of sins, to receive Jesus, and then fulfill your commission, and then fulfill what God called you to do. And to get to do that, to fulfill purpose, is an amazing thing. But I dream sometimes about standing before him on that day and hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what each and every one of us, you know what real success is? Has nothing to do with finance, nothing to do with impact, has everything to do with fulfilling God's plan. And in the end, hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In each of the Gospels, you're going to notice something. I'm going to read from the three other Gospels. You'll notice something, and I want you to recognize this. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you're able to, John, or on that $1,000 device you have in your hand that has a Bible app. John chapter 20, verse 19. John 20, verse 19. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" Verse 20, John 20, verse 20. "When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." I want you to say that with me out loud. "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Verse 22. "And when he had said this, he breathed on them." Some people say, some theologians say, this is the birth of the church. He breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Wow. So you see a commissioning. Why did the Father send his Son? To destroy the works of the devil, to redeem mankind. Why? As the Father sent me, so I send you. He's commissioning them. So you'll see it in Luke, which we read. You see it in John. He's doing what? He's commissioning them. He's sending them. What do you think Jesus does today? Same thing. These words are for us. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. What do you think he sent you to do? The same thing. Destroy the works of the devil. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Matthew 28, verse 18, New King James again. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore.'" Here's a commissioning. The Great Commission, this is called in Matthew 28. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." We're about to do that. Got a tank over here. Why would we do that? Because we've been commissioned. We've been called. We've been mandated to do it. And we gladly do so. There's a commissioning in all of the Gospels. Mark, the great commission there, Matthew 28, is oftentimes the great omission. Mark 16, verse 14, later he appeared to the 11. Mark 16, verse 14, "Later he appeared to the 11 and sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart." And if you have unbelief and hardness of heart, be rebuked. "Because they did not believe those who had seen him after they had risen." So there had been those who testify. He's risen again. He's not dead. Jesus is alive. Would you say that with me? Jesus is alive. And they didn't believe it. Verse 15. "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world.'" Here it is again. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Yeah, I got to tell you a funny story. Everybody say every creature. God called me to preach, I think, when I was a little boy. And I didn't really understand that, but I had this sense that God was going to use my life for something great. And while that was diluted and utterly wiped out, eventually I gave my heart to Jesus and I realized it began to make sense. He was going to use me to do something. Well, there was no way I was ever going to stand in front of a great crowd like today and online and all those. There's no way I could, in my mind, imagine that. But I could stand, but I saw that scripture and I thought, I could preach to creation, though. I could talk to maybe trees. And so I would run. I would do these long runs and I would run with the Lord. And I remember coming upon, some of you have heard this, but it's the God's honest truth. The first creatures I preached to were cows. You know, cows, Pastor Kirsten, cows. In Hana, I came upon a bunch of cows. Just chewing the cud. And I got to the fence, and I pretended I was at a pulpit, and I preached Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. I just turned it loose with all my heart, and I'm convinced that one of them lifted a hoof. Preach to all of creation. Verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Listen, this is still true today. Demons are real. There's a commissioning, and he gives you power, and he gives you authority. He gives you a call. He gives you a mandate. He sends you. That's what God is doing to these chaplains. That's what God is saying to the entire church. It's not about the four walls, thank God. It's like a training center for ruling and reigning later on, but we're supposed to go out there and to share the glorious news of Jesus. That's what it's all about, the comfort that's found in Christ and Christ alone. And he gives us power to do it. My, my, my. In my name, they'll cast out demons and speak with new tongues. What kind of tongues? New ones. New tongues. They'll take up serpents. Now, we don't handle snakes here. They do that down in Louisiana and other parts of the nation, but we don't. How many of you have ever been to snake handling church? All right, be healed. But if you do happen upon a snake, don't worry. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Verse 19, and so after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out, look at verse 20. I want you to see this. It's an account of the same story that we read in the previous verses. Mark 16, verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere, even in the sauna. No, I'm just kind of kidding, but I preach in the sauna a lot. Everywhere. That means highways, byways, school, supermarket, Costco, and in the synagogue. And in the temple and in homes. They preached everywhere. Where do they preach? Everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying, pardon me, signs. We've been commissioned. The church is to be commissioned. And Luke uniquely connects the mission and Mark as well with power. So you've been commissioned as chaplains. It is not just a little plaque that you hang on the wall. It's to literally be God's hand extended. And whether you've been commissioned in the chaplaincy or you're just here on a Sunday night, God calls you by name and he puts his power on the inside of you and he'll use you to preach. You say, I'm not a preacher. Well, you are actually through your life. Your testimony, the way you live, the way you talk, the way you share, the way you post. We're a witness. We're supposed to be a witness. Every commission has two parts, and this would be worth writing down, the purpose. Every commission has two purposes, two parts to it. One, purpose. Everybody say purpose. Jesus has provided forgiveness for every single sinner. The commission, the purpose, the first thing, two parts in a commission, the purpose is to preach Jesus, to declare Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected from the dead. I love Great Britain. I spit in some little vial and sent it off, and they told me that I'm 98% I did a DNA test. And then I had somebody say, you did the DNA test? I'm like, yeah, you know, that goes to China. Now they have all your, whatever. My name's registered in heaven. I'm not going to worry about it. Anyway, 98% Northwestern European. That's my background. So I've been there, been to England and Scotland, haven't been to Ireland just yet. And those are some of my roots. England, which was one of the greatest sending nations, great revivals in England, is now, well, there's something new that's starting in England, but it's illegal to preach the gospel on the street. And these massive churches and cathedrals have been taken over, and the church has shrunk. But there's hope. There's something new on the horizon. You know why that happened? Because they took the gospel, which is preaching Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected, and turned it into a social gospel. We are not just about we're going to feed the hungry. We're going to clothe the naked. We're going to help the homeless. We're going to help the addicted, the afflicted. We're going to do that. We should do that. Everybody say, do that. Yeah, James says true religion is helping and ministering to orphans and widows. So we're going to do that. But it's not just about helping people that are hungry. You've got to tell them about how to get saved. You got to tell them about how to get born again. And England went to a social gospel, and now it's just watered down. But there's a fresh move of the Spirit in England. I talked a little bit this morning about relatives on my mother's side that started the McCall Mission Society, planted all over France. I went and looked up the McCall Mission Society. I think it's McCall Mission Populaire, I think it's what it's called. I went and looked it up. I can't figure out how to get saved on any of their websites. I can't figure out anything about Jesus, but it is a very strong social movement to help people. We need to help people, but if the greatest help that people need is to have their sins forgiven, come up, somebody say amen. What good is it if they're full and clothed and go straight to hell? Bump your neighbor and say, that's true. The commission has two parts, purpose, and in that purpose is preaching and declaring Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. Every church service we have, everyone, Pastor Daniel? Yes, every single one. You will hear that. If it gets old, maybe your wood's a little wet. Forgiveness is received not because you just acknowledge it. Forgiveness is received not just because you believe in Jesus. That's great. No, it's repentance. I've had people say to me, you know, I've prayed that, what do you call it? The sinner's prayer. I've prayed that dozens of times, Pastor. Nothing happened to me. Well, nothing happened to you, Bubba, because you didn't repent. Repentance is how you enter into the new life in Christ. You're not just hearing it, not just believing, unless you really understand what that means. James says, once again, quoting the book of James, demons believe. James says even demons believe and tremble. Much of America believes, but there's no trembling. And it's not just about acknowledging that there's a Savior and someone who rose again. It's receiving what he purchased for you. And the only way you can receive that is through repentance. Try it. Roll your R. Repentance. And I have to add that in light of that, we have an obligation to make sure that everybody hears that. Are you serious? Yeah, I am. I think in my own life before I was born again, I thank God for the hippie that came up to me in like 1978. I don't know where the teachers were. I was out on a playground. We're like free-range children out on the playground in 1978. They would send us off. I mean, back then, you'd be like, you go off on your bike and have this massive expedition for like 5 or 6 miles. Just be home by the time it's dark for dinner. Oh, it's great. It doesn't work so good now. Don't do that now. Free-range child raising now is a bad idea. And crash 4 or 5 times. Get up, dust yourself off. You don't have any cell phones. Just pull yourself up and get a grip. 1978, I think that's about the year. I'm out on a playground with a friend. We're talking and hanging out. It was during lunchtime. It was during recess. And these long-haired, tie-dye people come up, three of them. And we're like, it's like, I don't see the aide. I don't see the teacher. There's no one. And they come up and the guy's like, hey, man. Hey, has anybody ever told you about Jesus? I'm like, no. And he gave me the gospel. And he had a track in his hand. He handed me something. They were Jesus people from the Jesus Revolution. Come on, some of you got saved right then. I had somebody pull me aside after Sunday morning and said, you know, I think there was an awakening during the Jesus movement. I said, well, that very well could be. Maybe we have another one. We need another Jesus movement. You know what happened in the Jesus movement is everybody testified. They witnessed all the time. They were like hitchhiking and they'd get in the car and they'd say, hey, man, I've been forgiven by Jesus Christ. They just boldly come out and say it. Free love. No, it wasn't free and it wasn't love, but that generation got powerfully touched in the 70s of baptizing thousands of people in the Pacific Ocean. It's a beautiful thing. I think we could see this happen again. That's why we're commissioning chaplains. You know, the Meeks. These guys have pastored churches, have been leaders in multiple places around America, and yet now they're here and they want to get their chaplaincy commission. And I don't know how young you are, but you're young. And I'm very, very grateful for your model for continuing to move forward and advance the gospel. God bless you. You could be preaching right now, but you're here serving, and you're a great, great couple. And I'm just, come on, put your hands together for them. Don't ever let the old man, the old woman in. Keep moving forward. There's nations that are going to be open. We have an obligation to share Jesus, to preach Jesus. When's the last time you led somebody to Christ? I don't mean here at the church, you brought somebody. And I know many people that you invite people, and I hope that you do, and I want you to. It's an invitation. It's an invitation type culture. Bring people, invite them. But when's the last time you led somebody to Jesus yourself, taking them by the hand, to boldly ask him, if you die today, where would you go? You say, well, that's offensive. Hell's really offensive. You think they're offended at that. If you didn't ask them and they end up not going to heaven, you think they'll be very offended at you then. Every person must hear what Jesus has done. It's the first aspect of the commissioning, two parts to it. Purpose, to share Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected with the whole world. Can you say amen? But the second aspect is found in our text also. It's the power. The power. I said it earlier, but if it was just about knowledge, then why would he say tarry, which means wait. Wait in Jerusalem. If it's just about knowledge, he taught them everything in 3.5 years. It wasn't just about knowledge. It's about the person of the Holy Spirit. It's about receiving power from heaven, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. God's promise of power is found in Acts chapter 1 and 8. We need power. It takes power. And you'll notice also that they really go hand in hand. And these signs will follow them that believe. He gives them the commission, go into all the world, and now you have power. Why? Because it takes power. He doesn't send you with lint in your pocket. Come on, if you were to send your child, we would never do this anymore, but if you were to send your child like in 1950 to go down to the general store to get a thing of milk, you're going to either you have an account at the general store or you're going to give them some cash. You're not going to send them to go get milk with no money. God doesn't send us to cast out. You can't cast out a demon without power. His name carries power, but there's the power of the Holy Spirit. You need it. I need it. We need it. Somebody said, what's different about your church? There's a measure of power here. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Unapologetically, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. You said, that's a little weird. You know what's weird? No power. Powerless Christianity is an unbiblical thing. To just share Jesus and have no power, that doesn't make any sense. No, you'll lay hands on the sick. Come on, look at your hands. You'll lay hands on the sick and you'll see them recover. I was a tour guide before I became a pastor. The Lord was teaching me to shepherd 12 people down a mountain on bicycles, a volcano, I should say. And I was having accidents in my tour. And by the way, when you have an accident on a volcano and a bicycle, it leaves a mark. It's not good. And I was so grieved that I had people crashing and I had accidents. I said, Lord, I do not want to have any accidents. And I felt like God gave me a plan. He said, look at your hands. And I looked at my hands. And he said, they're anointed. I'm on you. Lay hands on all of them before they ride. I'm like, how am I going to do that? He said, I'll show you. So that first day, that first morning at sunrise on the top of Mount Haleakala, 10,023 feet, lined up all my bikes in a row, which is what we do, and then my bikes in the front. And I thought, Lord, how do you want me to lay hands on them? And I just get this picture. And I feel like I should take a knee. So I took a knee. And he said, just stay there until I anoint you. And I thought, all right. So I had a knee. I had my bike. And I just said, okay. And I waited there for 60 seconds. It's my turn to go. And it's all very structured. You have to go when it's your time to go. And I'm sitting there going, that's a long time now, Lord. And finally, when I just surrendered, boom, I felt God's power. And then I realized I can lay hands on them by slapping them five. Y'all raise your hand. I went down every one of them and anointed every single one of them by slapping them five. Every single one. Everyone anointed. I'm like, let's go. Let's go. Come on, somebody said, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. I anointed every one of my bike riders. Do you know what happened? You know what? I'll tell you. I hardly had another accident. I can't recall if I ever actually did have another one, but I don't want to exaggerate. And I made more tips. And supernaturally, we had so much fun, and I did that until really I went into ministry. Come on, look at your hands. They're registered in heaven. Does anybody remember that? Hey, don't mess with that guy. His hands are registered. Does anybody remember that like in the 70s? Wada! Like, what does that mean, registered hands? I don't know. I send the promise of my Father. There's some keys here before I conclude this. You know, they had to obey. You know, one of the tragedies of the upper room in Acts chapter 2 is that there's 500, how many? 500 people saw him ascend, but there's only 120 in the upper room. I did the math on this previously, and I memorized it. There's 380 people that were not in the upper room. Why not? Maybe they didn't believe. Maybe they had to go tend the sheep. Maybe. I mean, a lot of things. But 120 said, I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna tarry. I'm gonna stay here until we're. I don't know what that endowment thing. I don't know what that power thing is. But, bro, I need help. They were in the upper room. I think they were scared of being crucified. And Peter, who ran from a little girl at a fire, comes out and preaches until thousands of people got saved. What is the difference between Peter before the upper room and Peter after the upper room? The fire. Lift your hand to heaven. Say, the fire. Come on, say it. Wave your hand like you're spirit-filled. The fire. Oh, you guys are a tough crowd tonight. They had to obey. They first had to obey. Waiting for God is not inactivity. It's one of the most righteous, holy things you can do. I've gone off half-cocked before. That's an old expression. I think it probably had to do with powdered, you know, black rifle or firearms. You got to cock that thing all the way back so that when it hits, it makes a good spark. I've gone ahead of the Lord when he was supposed to go ahead of me, and I got in a rush. Anybody ever done that? I've done that. It's terrible. You try to help God out and make yourself an Ishmael. Waiting is a very spiritual thing to do. We wait. We tarry for God's power. Somebody asked me to pray. They're considering buying a house. They said, we need wisdom. Yes, you do. By all means, buy a house, but be sure that the Lord's leading you to do it. Be sure that it's right. Be sure that it's him. You can't just go off half-cocked and expect results. You've got to tarry. You've got to wait. It's a picture of prayer. Those who wait on the Lord will, yes, they'll renew their strength. Even the young men grow weary. God will put power on you when you wait. To wait on the Lord, the Hebrew word is to be braided together. If you were to go look at a braided rope, perhaps. To be braided with the Lord, to wait on him, it was one of the greatest things to do. But you don't stay in that place. They eventually came out with fire. Receiving the power. We need to receive the power. Two aspects of the commissioning. The purpose, which is telling every single one about the Lord. That he died, that he rose again, and that you enter into his forgiveness by repentance. And that's worthy of every single nation, every tribe and tongue, every individual hearing that. Until they're saved, till they make a decision. And then power. You need power. Power is connected to purpose. You say, I understand the purpose, but I mean, I understand Jesus, but what about the power? You have to have a desire to walk in greater power and what we call anointing. The anointing is God's enablement to do what he called us to do. He gives us a purpose, but again, he gives us fuel. He gives us fire to do it. You have to have a desire. I'd like the worship team to come, and I'm going to pray for you to receive fresh power. And then we're going to move into a time of baptism. Would you lift your hands all across this place? With hands raised, God. We pray for a fresh baptism of fire. A fresh baptism of your spirit. That you would come upon us as a church, as a people. That you would come upon us, Lord, and do us with power from on high right now. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Mark us. Right now. I remember talking to Dr. Morocco. And I was making my case for education. And we've got schools. I mean, education's good, especially when it's Christ-centered. He said, Daniel, yes, education's good, Pastor Daniel, but it's the anointing also. And you can get educated and not have the anointing. You need the anointing. So it's both. And I said, well, amen. I don't want to just, let me say it better. We're not going to just have a chaplaincy where we produce chaplains that have no power. That is not what we're going to do. We're not going to have a King's Christian school that goes through senior year in high school and not have power. There's revival. There's revival. I heard revival, Headmaster Susie, in that school when I walked those halls. I heard it. I've heard that sound before. I've heard it. I heard kids crying out to God. I saw the power of God coming down in classrooms. And when that happens, be open to shutting classes down to just have an outpouring day if that takes place. Don't shy away from that. We can study later. There's moments in God. There's moments in God. You heard that, right? There's moments that come and you can miss them. There's coming an outpouring. And you might be in the middle of chapel or you might be in the middle of history or math. That's what happened years ago in 1995. The power of God came upon our school. And I think about revivals in different parts of the nation. It was little children that got touched by God in these Sunday schools. And they would go out and they would, as Pastor Kimmy said, they'd go out and they'd lay hands on their parents and their parents could get healed and they'd want to know what happened. They would tell them about Jesus. God is pouring out his spirit. So it's not just about making commission and education. It's about releasing the power of God with people who can rightly divide the word also. It's both. It's both and. Come on, somebody say both and. You need God. You need his power. Lift your hands to heaven and hunger for him right now. Yes, God.
We need you, we need you, we need you, Lord. We need you, God. We need you, we need you. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you. We need you, God. We need you. Oh. Like the morning needs the sun, we need you. Like the ocean needs the streams, we need you. Like the desert needs the rain, we need you. We need you. We need you. Some of you are here and you are frozen. You've been so traumatized through difficulty. You've got like PTSD on top of PTSD. You have gone through things with churches, gone through things in marriage, gone through things in the raising of your children, gone through things with the government, gone through things with the IRS, gone through so many things that you're just numb. You have insulated yourself from feeling anything at all. This is a word of knowledge for a number of you, perhaps online as well. God wants to heal you. God wants to set you free from your PTSD. God wants to put fresh oil from heaven and give you your joy back. It's not so much about your personality. So I'm not like that. I'm like a recluse. I'm very quiet. No, you've been oppressed. You've attributed it to your personality, but in actual fact, you've been oppressed, and God's trying to set you free right now. Text as much as you want. Try to distract yourself from this word, but I'm telling you, God's reaching to you. He's reaching to you through the lips of this bald-headed preacher right now. Wherever you are, he wants to help you. Lift your hands like you're being arrested right now. Surrender, just surrender. Let the Holy Spirit arrest you. Holy Spirit, come. Let your fire come. Let your power come. Break every chain. Break every bondage. Lift off the depression and the heaviness. Come on, stand up on your feet all across this place. And I'll begin to close before we move into baptisms. If you're not right with God, I have shared with you how to be made right. I've shared with you very clearly tonight how to be born again, how to have your sins forgiven. Jesus Christ was crucified on the third day. He rose again. You must believe that. You must repent. Repent. It's not about going to church. Repentance is a pent, think. You need to think differently. You need to change your behavior and begin to live for God and ask him to come in and forgive you and wash you and cleanse you. It's not enough just to believe in God. Even the demons believe and tremble. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You say, that's me. You're talking to me, Pastor. I need to give my heart to Jesus. And just raise your hand right now. You want to give your heart to Christ for the very first time. You've never done it. Do it now. Do it now. God bless you. God bless you. Wonderful. Thank you for your honesty. Lift your hand high. You want to get right with God for the first time. God bless you over there. Thank you. Thank you, young man. Thank you. Lift your hand. Getting right with Jesus first time. Perhaps you did give your life to Christ in a previous date, but you know full on you're not on fire and you've drifted from your commitment from the Lord. I'm calling you to recommitment. I'm calling you to fresh fire. I'm calling you to sign up, enlist again, sell the farm and give your life back to Jesus. You say, that's me. I need to get right. I need to get more on fire. I need to get right with God. I'm gonna sell out tonight. That's you, lift your hand. You prayed before, but you need to recommit tonight. God bless you, God bless you. Lift your hand high. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. All right, so that, God bless you, wow. God bless you, God bless you. So that would leave then the only other category, the only other categories then are people that are already born again and they're on fire. Or people that are choosing to reject Christ and go to hell. Those are the rest of the people that are left in the room. One, giving your life to Jesus, you're recommitting. We had hands raised all over. Or two, or recommitting, one, pardon me. One, you're giving your life to Christ the first time. Two, you're recommitting. Or three, you're good, you're on fire, you're going after God, you're close to him. Then the only other group of people are those who aren't gonna give their lives to Jesus and think everything I'm saying is maybe not true, and they're gonna reject the Lord and go to hell if they die tonight. So that's the only other categories. You say, well, that's pretty intense. I feel intense about it tonight and this morning. I'm sure I'm gonna feel the same way tomorrow morning. You must be born again. I've said it as plain and as clear as I can.
And I know that you might have made a decision in your heart but not raised your hand. I understand that. That's okay. God sees your hand whether you raised it or not. Pray with me right out loud. All across this place, pray with me right out loud. Giving your heart to Jesus for the first time, recommitting because you need to draw close to God and start over. If that's you, pray with me right out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place. I believe he rose again from the grave. And I ask you tonight to forgive me for everything I've done wrong. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. I'm corrected by the Holy Spirit, so I will speak that correction. You might be here and maybe your understanding's not been opened. So it's just, you don't see it. You don't. The Bible says that there's scales. That people are blind to the truth. Until you're not blind anymore, I pray that your understanding opens. Now, I pray every telephone pole looks like a cross. I pray everywhere you go, your eyes are open to the reality of Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. And the purpose and the plan and the commissioning has not just for our fabulous graduates, but for the fact that we're all believers to share the good news with Jesus to every nation, tribe, and tongue, beginning first in our family and moving out from there. God, thank you. Fill you with fire and power right now. Let the anointing come upon you now. Would you put your hands together for Jesus?
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.